Welcome to the Transformational Podcast, a conversation between brothers about practical ways faith is impacting our lives. We invite you to join us on this journey as we are learning to let faith transform the way we live. We are glad you are with us today and look forward to sharing our journey with you. Now let's jump in. Yeah, welcome to the Transformational Podcast. We're glad you're back with us. No, I'm not going to let Chris do the intro all the time because it drives me nuts.
I was working on my voice over there.
Yeah. I think you're getting ready to take over for like Drew Carey or something on the Price is Right or something.
I'm waiting for my call.
All right. Well, I think we're going to jump into some verses in 2 Corinthians tonight, yeah? I'm going to do a little bit.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're watching right now, you can see that I'm not in my house, but I'm in kind of my temporary in the middle of the week house, which is I've had a pretty good, I guess you could say, intro into what I'm doing, and things are going well. Thanks for asking, Chris.
Well, you kind of just started talking, Robert. You have a way of doing that sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
But while you're talking about, how was your first week on the job?
It was good. It's been interesting. You know what, Chris, though? It's fun because, you know, you get to start to know people, right? And you get to notice a few things about, you know, various folks and, you know, kind of the who's who in the zoo, and they're kind of learning you. And it's just, you know, I find this part of any new job really interesting because you have these interactions with folks. And I'm always like hoping that like when I have these interactions, it's a positive interaction. In other words, that it's something that they walk away from and they're like, man, I really, really enjoyed hanging around that guy. And so to a certain extent, it's funny that you wanted to chat about what you're chatting about because it made me think about, you know, where I'm at this week with all these kind of new introductions. And Chris, I stink with names. Yeah, mercy, I stink with names. And so people are introducing themselves. And then I literally saw someone today that I met last week, and it was like I'd never met him before in my life.
Oh, no.
It was not a best moment, but I'm trying. I'm getting better. What's the world like on your side? What do you got going on?
Well, I just feel like we're running and gunning all the time, which is, you know, fun. But I've got kid in soccer, kid in baseball. I help coach the baseball side of things because I was asked and I enjoy it. And then at church, we've got construction going. We've had some great Sundays seeing God move. 2 weeks ago, we got to see 55 people baptized on a Sunday.
Fantastic.
Which, dude, it's just if that doesn't light your fire, then your wood's got to be wet. So there's a good country saying for you.
Tell you what,
but it was good stuff, man. It was really good stuff. So, but just, you know, when I was thinking back to this podcast and thinking about what we were going to cover, what brought me to what I wanted to talk about tonight is a lot of the heart behind why we are doing this. Cause we want to just share our journey with people and share, you know, as we read stuff, what God says to us and how that's, you know, what that does in our lives. And so I think it's one of those things of just, as I look about it and think about it tonight, it's going, hey, I want us to cover something that is literally just straight out of my journal. It's just little snippets, and we're going to expand on it. Of course, I didn't write 30 minutes worth of material in my journal. It's literally 4 lines. But but that being said, I hope as we do this and we walk through this, people see just how so much of God's word speaks directly to our lives, and it's worth considering.
On a daily basis, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not because I have a degree from a seminary. It's literally like what I'm sharing with you tonight is basic application is what it is. So I think but I guess before we roll, I think the heartbeat is as you start reading, it's really about application, not information. It's saying, all right, Lord, what do you want me to know?
That's for sure.
And what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. Because those that's really important. Now, the other thing is, and I was tonight we had batting practice with my son's baseball team, and I kind of got him together at the beginning and got onto him a little bit because we haven't been hitting real well in the games. And you know, I was kind of getting frustrated because I was like, guys, I don't mind throwing batting practice, but when we come here, y'all aren't working on your swing. You're not working on getting consistent. Y'all act as if just because you showed up and you swing a bat, you're going to get better. I said, that's not what makes you better. You don't get better just because you go through the motions. You got to start evaluating. All right, I'm going to look at swing. You know, I said, half y'all have phones, video each other. Then look at the footage together when you're doing tee work, when you're doing soft toss, when you're in the cage with me. You know, like start thinking about, all right, am I doing the things I need to do to get better? I said, because the reality is what your current results on the field are a result of your current process. So if you don't like your results, you've got to change your process. And so we talked about that. And Robert, we had such a better practice, and we had some guys who found their swing tonight. It was exciting, but it makes me think
Isn't
of
that
this.
Fun?
Yeah, it is so much fun. But it makes me think of this side of things from the standpoint of, if we're just reading this to check a box and say we read it, it's really not doing anything for us. It's about looking at it, reading it, and then evaluating our lives next to it and going, all right, God, what do you want me to know? Like, how does this affect my life? What does this tell me about you? And in light of who you are, that should tell me really more about who I am, because I was created in your image. And so it's reading for, all right, what does this look like on a day-to-day basis? And you know, yes, you got to show up. But when you show up, you can't just check off the box. It's leaning in and saying, all right, what I need to know, and what does God want me to do? So I just want to say
that. So where are you reading? Where are we at? Where are we?
Jump to 2 Corinthians.
What were you reading? Where were you at?
We're going to start over at 2 Corinthians chapter 2.
had to break those readers out so you could see what chapter you were on.
No,
those numbers are bigger, buddy.
2 was fun, all right? I'm just saying. Sometimes, man, I'm telling you, it's been – I've studied all morning, and so my eyes are actually incredibly tired tonight. So anyway, it says this, verse 14.
Blame it on tired eyes. Come on. What 14. Verse? Verse 14.
It says, but thank God he made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. So I'm going to pause there because this triumphant full procession, the readers at the time, they knew that when a victorious warrior came back from battle, they'd lead their captives as a part of their procession into town, their parade, celebrating the victory. They would lead the captives into town. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like showing their victory off. It was showing their trophy off. Well, he's leading us like captives, but we're his trophy. Think about that. He's leading us along going, hey, I want people to look at your lives and see the greatness of your God. Like how amazing and powerful your God is. Like I just look at that dude and it hit me, because at first I read it and thought, we're like his captives. Like that sounds like a bad thing, but that's not the emphasis of it. He's saying, no, just like the captives are meant to show the power and the might of the warriors and the army, it's there to show the glory and the might and the power of our God. And so really what he's saying is, he's leading us along, wanting people to look at our lives and go, man, that God is a good God. He's a powerful God. Wow. Yeah.
Mine actually says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession. So it leads out the captives piece. Yeah. But I don't think the captives in or out makes a difference here. So if you have a different version and you're like, well, my dad said captives, that's what Chris is hitting at, is it's not the point of being conquered and therefore being a captive. It's a point of showing off in a way how awesome and amazing he is. And he's leading us in this procession. Yeah. So if yours doesn't say captives, just know that that doesn't negate the point that's being made yeah. here, is that this is God saying, hey, these are mine.
Yeah.
Like they're with me. Yeah. And who better to be with than him?
Try to see. I'd like to see if there's a if that word for captives in it. I'd be curious to see. Sorry. Okay, keep up.
All right, we'll look that up while I'm reading on, because the next piece kind of comes back. It ties into this. It says in 15. It says, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." And so
twice he talks about a fragrance, Robert.
Yeah.
Right? He talks about aroma rising up to God and the fragrance. Now, here's why I laugh about that. Because the other day we got done with my son's baseball game.
Yeah.
And we are driving home. Robert, my oldest son, I mean, bless him. I think he puts on deodorant. I think he doesn't maybe put on enough deodorant or what.
I don't think it matters. He's a hearse.
He smelled like a bag of cooked onions, bro. Like we had the windows down. It was kind of that people were cold. They're wrapped up in blankets, but it was like, we'll freeze. Because we're going to suffocate if we don't. But
God bless his future wife.
He just laughs about it. But yeah, well, hopefully it'll level out eventually. But man, it was a very pungent aroma. And I think about it from the standpoint of aromas can do one of two things. A number of things for you, right?
Yeah.
It can draw you in, or it can push you away. It can make you go, man, I think about it when you smell a brisket coming off. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to eat. Right. My mouth waters. Right. But then you also have, a number of other smells. I got two boys. All right? I'm raising two boys. So I have all sorts of smells in the house that are really beginning. And you're like, oh my gosh, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
And you don't want to hang around it, but I think it's interesting as it talks about to the believers, it is a sweet aroma, mm-hmm. right? To those who are being saved, right?
Yeah.
Which
well, let me tell you
I love
about
it,
that.
Because he's saying, wait.
Let me tell you about that real quick. Because I was running the other day, and you're talking about your boys. And when I'm thinking about aromas, up here in Maryland, we're kind of right in the sweet spot of spring where everything's coming out, flowers and all. And I'm running by this sewage area where they do a water treatment facility. And so it's not the best smelling place, but Chris, I run by these bushes, these wall of bushes, which were like basically like honeysuckle bushes, more or less, like not the traditional honeysuckle vine, but those bushes. You can't smell the water treatment facility. All you smell is honeysuckle. And it is absolutely just the best place on the planet to be. And you're looking at the sewage plant right over there, but man, the fragrance that it puts off, you just don't want to go anywhere. I'll sit here all day. This is amazing. It smells incredible. Which, to your point there, that's that aroma that God's talking about of life, that aroma of salvation, right? And I think then you can keep going pontificating, because I think it kind of goes into the next piece as well at some point.
Well, go ahead and read it.
Well, because the next piece is really – honestly, it's quite interesting, because when you read that verse 15, it says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. That's that sweet aroma that totally blocks out the nasty, right? And those who are perishing. And then it says, to the one we are the smell of death. To the one we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? And we'll get to that question. But to one, we smell like death. One, we smell like life.
Yeah. So let me read my version on 16, because it says, to those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved were life-giving perfume. So I think
it's so much better. Yeah.
Just that's interesting because it just helps point out who he's talking about there. Why do you think he says to those who are being saved, why are we a life-giving perfume? What do you feel like he would say?
It makes me think of Barnabas, right? Barnabas was one of the apostle or just a disciple or later on disciple.
He's just a disciple. Yeah.
Anyway, Barnabas hung out with Paul.
Yeah, because he was with Paul.
Yeah, Barnabas hung out with Paul, and Barnabas was known, go ahead.
So the difference between just for those who are out there going, well, y'all just talked about apostle and disciple. Does that mean apostle is someone who was directly connected with Christ?
Meaning like had physical touch.
So technically he possibly could have been part of the thousands or hundreds that followed Jesus.
Yeah.
But we don't see that in scripture we don't see that as a,
That's a good distinguishing point.
See him come along with Paul,
that's a good distinguishing point. But what I love about him.
So a disciple, there's a lot of disciples.
Yeah.
So
you and me, we're a disciple. We follow Christ and hence makes us disciple. The thing I love about Barnabas is Barnabas was known for, being an encourager, right? To especially to Christians, like Christians loved hanging around him because he was encouraging. And I always think of myself when I go into these workplaces, like I was telling you, I meet these people the last 2 weeks. I'm like, what am I doing that makes these folks feel encouraged when they walk out of my presence, no matter what's going on? Because sometimes, crazy's going on and that's what it is. And what is it? What aroma am I giving off? Now, this is a little different because I'm in a work environment. And so, we're not talking about to those who have life, but when I hang out with Christians, there's so many times, Chris, where I'm hanging out with somebody and I'm like, something just smells familiar about you. Have you ever had that? You're like, something smells familiar. And then you get to talking and you're like, you're a Christ follower. I knew it.
Yeah. It's honestly, like it should be a character trait of all.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is other people should be able to, when they're hanging around me, identify that aroma and be like, oh, I can tell.
Yep.
You're a follower of Jesus, aren't you? Right.
Yep.
I think it's always funny when you run into those kind of relationships or those people and you're like, I think they're a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other part of that is we're the smell of death, right, to those who are perishing, which I think is interesting because it seems to be a deterrent, if you will. But I think – I don't know that he's saying it's a deterrent. I think more of anything, it's a reason that causes people to sometimes reject or push away from Christianity – because we live differently. We have a hope that they don't have. We have a peace that others don't have. We have a joy that others don't have. I mean, if we're rooted in Christ, we should.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying. And I think to some, they're like, I don't know why that guy's always happy. I don't know why that guy, he's just too nice.
Yeah.
And I've heard people, say that before they're just not my kind of people. They're just too happy all the time.
I've heard that. Yeah. Like, okay. No, well, I've heard that. That's the thing.
That's
yeah.
not terrible.
I'm like, I'm not sure how that's bad.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm looking up.
But I think it also tells the story.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I think it always tells the story to them of man, we're followers of Jesus. We're all in with Jesus and we're not condemning them. We're not telling them that they're going to hell, but we're living, fully following Jesus in a way that is countercultural, and I think it makes people uncomfortable when we don't just follow the norm. I know it does because I've seen it. I've had people say it to me: if you're not following the norm, then you're a prude, or you're holier than thou, or you're just too good for everyone, and I. I've heard all of that before.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
And the reality is it's just a response to the fact that, man, there's something different about your life, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing to think that's interesting is what you run into is you have the reason why we're more or less that we smell like, you know, the smell of death. It might actually, one of my versions, I looked it up, says the dreadful smell of death and doom. It's because it forces that person to come into contact with the light and realize the darkness, right? And realize where they're at.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so,
that's good.
It is fascinating. You said it on a podcast a couple weeks ago when we talked about our kids that, you know, people will see, you said something like kids are more likely to catch or, you know, whatever, they're caught, not taught, right?
Oh yeah. And what they see is far more powerful than what is said.
Right. And so I think that's what happens here is when we are lights for Christ and we are living that out, kind of a, we like it or not, we're making them have that smell of death and doom. And I think it's important, Chris. I think that can't be minimized. We can't say, oh, well, that's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. If they didn't know they were dead and dying, no, they wouldn't want to do anything about it. And that's horrible. They should smell death and doom. Yeah. And our life should cause them to be around us and go, you know, I don't have that I don't have that same thing. And so I think,
I just thought about it this way. So death is the absence of life, mm-hmm, right? So the reason that it potentially leads them to it's the smell of death is that they recognize that there's a life in this person that I don't have. And I need that. And I want that because I don't have the life that they have. There's the absence of real life in me. Right. So maybe it's that concept of death is the absence of life. And they go, wait a minute. They have a life that I don't have. And I'm not talking about like a bougie life or something. I'm talking about like they have joy. They have peace. They have hope. They serve people. They're self-emptying, not self-serving. You know, what is that?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You don't know how bad you smell until somebody tells you. And or until you get around something, that smells good, right? So like your son is, he's back there. He doesn't smell that. He's like, man, I smell fine. I don't know what you're talking about, right? But when you come across as you kind of go around, all of a sudden you get near something that smells good, and you walk away, and you're like, something stinks. And then you give the old pit sniff, you know, like, is that me?
Yeah.
Right? But I don't think it's that comical, right? I think this is actually one of those serious moments. This is a design, the way God made it, and he made it this way to lead people into the smell and the fragrance and the aroma of life. He doesn't want us to stay and remain that way. So he has designed it this way. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, I think, is what do I smell like?
Yeah.
Right.
So the reason he even brought aromas up, by the way, is because that often in these parade routes, they would have incense scattered along the route of a victorious Roman general. All right. So that being said, for those who are on the way to the arena of death, it was, you know, being led into captivity. It was a smell of death. And then to those being led, you know, who are part of the triumphant procession that were, you know, part of the Roman army.
Yeah.
It was a smell of life. We won. We did what we needed to do. But all of this is meant to go back and point to our victorious general, our victorious warrior. And for those who reject him or don't know him, it may smell like death because it's a recognition of,
yeah, well, you know,
and I don't have
and
that.
Practically,
now, but that's the question.
Yeah,
is if you look at your life, do you have an aroma?
Yeah,
right. And what kind of aroma is it? Is it encouraging to other believers because they're like, man, when I'm around that person, my faith is like it's encouraged. My faith is is made stronger when I'm just around them. I'm encouraged. I want to be more like Jesus when I'm around these people.
Yeah. So let's get practical for a second.
You know,
and you had brought up, I think you brought up Psalms 103 before we started. And I think we were thinking maybe we would do that as a separate podcast, but I really think it fits here because, you know, the question is, what do you smell like? And then, you know, you have to ask yourself, okay, well, if I don't like the way I smell, you know, in real life, we just go take a shower, we change your shirt, throw some deodorant on. In the walk of faith, the question is, what do we do? And I think Psalms 103 covers it. And I mean, do you want to read it and see how far we get? I don't want to cover it in depth detail, but I want to leave our friends. Yeah. I want to leave our friends with something that they can walk away with tangible and go, hey, if I stink, I can take a shower. If I stink, I can put on deodorant. If I stink, I can do this. You know what I mean? And so what,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
Psalms 103 so, really covers
that's
it.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. I'll read it. I'll say this before I read it. When I got done reading it the other day, I just wrote down in my journal that this is a great psalm to come to when I need to remind myself of why I'm grateful for God. This is a great psalm to pray just as a psalm of thanksgiving, a prayer of thanksgiving. And so it says this in Psalm 103, verse 1, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. So that's like the setup, all right? Let me never forget the good things he does for me. And then he begins to go through. Listen, this is the thing that we need to take note of and slow down. Go back and read Psalm 103 after this, because I'm not going to be able to hit all of it.
Yeah.
But he lists the things that he does for me. He says, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases.
Mm-hmm.
He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Think about that. He redeems me from death, right?
Yeah.
Not does he just rescue me, but I'm redeemed. To redeem something means that I now have a purpose. I have use. I have value.
Well, let's pause here for a second.
You're gonna say something.
Yeah, let's pause here for a second because I think this is really important. There's this idea that he redeems us from death, that he heals our diseases. And there's folks right now who have diseases and they're probably going, wait, I have a disease and he has not healed me from it. But I think what happens is when we step into Christ, when we step into that into salvation with Jesus, we get a new eternal perspective. And this tent that I wear, which is my body, is temporary. We've beat death and we're gonna put on a new body that does heal us from our sicknesses. It does heal us from our diseases, and it absolutely conquers death. And so if you can't get fired up about this part of the scripture here, like, man, like, think about it. Like, I'm fired up thinking about it right now.
Yeah. 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 Whatever our illness issue is now, he might heal us now. I've seen God heal
absolutely.
People. I've also seen God not choose to heal people on this side of eternity, but at the same time, we still win.
Yep.
We still win because we get new heavenly bodies and all that be gone for forever. Mm-hmm. But it says, verse 5, he fills my life with good things. Mm. It reminds me of the verses that every good and perfect gift comes from above. That's James 1. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles.
Mm.
The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. Listen, if you've gone through unfair treatment, know that one day God's justice will come and he's going to give righteousness and justice to you. It says he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. He says, man, go back and look at the ways I've moved in history. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Boy, am I grateful for that.
I can't. And
he's
yeah.
put up with me.
That's hard. That's a hard one to imagine. There's a lot of times where I think we have an impression of the Lord that he's like little bunny foo-foo, you know, going to snatch us up and bop us on the head. But that's not what he says here, right? He says, I used to think that the other shoe would fall and people will figure out how jacked up I am and And I'm always like, ah, man. And, you know, this quasi imposter syndrome, until God was like, hey, Robert, like I hold the shoe, like chill out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And, yeah. And I think that was a huge moment for me to move on and realize he is compassionate. He is slow. He does correct, but he's not looking to smash you down. He's not looking to beat you up. He's not looking to you know, crush you into doing the right thing. That's not how it works. He's looking to love. He'll lovingly correct. Make no mistake about it. But it's not. He's not looking to pummel people. He's very slow to anger, and praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, the next verse actually says 9, he will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love he won't constantly accuse us, because I think sometimes we feel guilty, or we carry guilt and shame with us, and because we constantly feel like God is upset about what we did. We have an enemy who's called the accuser. Mm. So if you feel constantly accused, you
that's
know,
not God.
Shame about something of your past. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So it goes on and says, he does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve for his unfailing love toward us. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Right?
It's east to the west.
They don't. Right.
Yeah.
The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Mm. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commands. Listen, that's talking about generational blessing in your family. Mm-hmm. When you choose to set that path, listen, I know there's people listening right now that maybe you didn't have the benefit that maybe I did of parents who love God and were faithful to God and are faithful to God. And so I got the blessing of growing up in that and experiencing the spiritual blessing of coming to know the Lord early and, you know, being taught by them and modeled by them. But listen, it doesn't matter what people before you've done.
Yeah.
You can start a new pattern. You can be the one who sets your children's children up for success spiritually to that they're blessed for generations to come because of your obedience to be faithful to him and do what he says.
Yep.
It goes on and says 19, the Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there, he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom, let all that I am praise the Lord. Man, I'm just telling you, when you live with that kind of gratitude and that kind of thankfulness, it will bubble over into joy like none other. There's nothing in life.
That's what it smells like. That's what it smells like to take a heavenly shower.
Yeah.
Right there. That's what it smells like to take a spiritual shower right there.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, it's funny, Chris. My last verse there, and maybe we can get into the wrap. I don't know if we're there yet. But my last verse says, praise the Lord, all his works. And I like this. This is one of my favorite. Ah, man, I love this. It says, everywhere is his dominion. Everywhere is his dominion. That, to me, that's actually one of the things that I keep in mind when I'm at work, right? And things are going nuts and the place is proverbially burning to the ground, right? And, you know, it's the, how do you have that aroma of life? I recognize that everything, to include what I'm currently doing and currently going through, is his dominion. And because he is slow to anger and he is loving and all that other stuff, I can chill out. I can chill out. I still got to do my job, but I can kind of relax in that. And my friend, when you do that, you smell different. You smell different.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Yeah. So it's, I guess one of the thoughts I had as I was reading that is I think sometimes people think, well, he's just an optimist. You know, he's just the, you know, the rainbows and butterflies kind of guy. The reality is, if you start realizing what all that God has done for you, it's not a personality trait. It's a belong to Jesus trait.
Yeah.
It's a new trait that comes from a recognition of I'm a child of God. He's redeemed me from death. Not just rescued me, but redeemed me, meaning I have value. He loves me. He doesn't constantly accuse me. Man, I'm just telling you, if that doesn't give you joy, regardless of what you face, I don't know what would.
Yeah.
Because that, my friend, is one of those game changers for the way you see, regardless of what you face, regardless of what you go through in life.
Yeah.
The reality is what God has done for you is so much greater than anything that's happened to you in the past or anything that will happen to you in the future. Because what he's done for you is so much greater. And it's a reason to have joy. And when you live in that kind of joy and that kind of gratitude, it gives off an aroma that tells others about the greatness of our God.
Amen.
Thank you for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged in your own journey as you let faith transform the way you live. If you enjoyed hanging with us today, let us know by leaving us a 5-star review and sharing our podcast with others. We look forward to discussing what God is doing in our lives in our next episode.